Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? Many times we make decisions based on rationalization, if you will, according to the things that we think, according to the opinions that we possess. I'm going to ask you just a couple basic questions tonight, very elementary. I hope you'll be able to answer in the affirmative to all four of them. But how many believe tonight that God does exist? Raise your hand. See, I knew you would. How many believe that a person is going to spend eternity somewhere? Believe that? Somewhere. Okay. How many believe that God's Bible is the guidebook to every Christian? Believe that? How many believe you'd be willing to change whatever your opinion is if God showed you something different than what your present opinion is? You believe that? Okay, good. So I think we're on good ground tonight. Let's notice a couple of things, and we're going to talk tonight about making wise decisions that stick. Now, as we talk about this tonight, I'm going to show you a starking difference between what a principle-related, biblical-related based decision is and a preference. I think that there are many questions between the two. I think that there are some preachers that don't get mad at me. I think there's some preachers that get out of line because they preach preferences like convictions. I think there's some preachers that are afraid to preach convictions, and I think both are wrong. And so I think it's important that we understand the clarity of the scriptures on these matters. Let me give you a couple of statements tonight. How do you make significant decisions? How do you make significant decisions? Now, I want you to think about some things tonight. The best way to make decisions is, of course, to rely on the principles that are found in God's Word. You think about Daniel. Of course, Daniel was under a lot of pressure. The pressure, of course, that the Babylonians had put over him and against him. He had been taught biblical principles from day one. You can read about Daniel in Daniel chapter 1, but he was hard-pressed. We notice this, statement number two, that the historical setting of Daniel. I want you to understand some things about this. And again, in Daniel chapter 1, you can read about these matters. You can see that, of course, after the conquering of Jerusalem, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon selected the brightest, if you would please, and to take them into captivity, if you will please, and taught them culture, taught them literature, taught them religion, taught them the world view. But there were some young men, along with Daniel, that made some righteous choices, and it separated them out because of their righteous choices. By the way, when somebody makes a right choice, most of the time what happens when they make a right choice, what takes place at that time is normally they don't have to choose to leave a group, but normally the group will choose to leave them. And you'll see that this was the case in Daniel's setting. So we see how to make significant decisions. We see the historical setting of this. Then you see some principle and preference here. Let me give you the difference between a principle and a preference. A principle is a fixed, predetermined conduct, maybe a moral rule, if you would, based on a biblical basis or based on the Word of God. Now, by the way, for you and I, we ought to operate our life on biblical convictions, biblical truth. Now, what is a preference? A preference is something that is a choice that is showing a person's likes or dislikes. A preference means something that I prefer. And I'm going to show you the difference between a biblical conviction and a I prefer or a preference. Daniel, let me give you Daniel's example here. Daniel's example. You'll see this, statement number four. Daniel's example was this. He refused to eat of the king's rich food. Rather, Daniel said this, I'm not going to eat of that. What I want to do, you can read about it in Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. He said, I'm not going to do that. But what I'm going to do is I have a strong belief about this, and I believe that I need to eat the vegetables and drink the water. And the Bible says that those that did that had a healthier countenance than those that did not. All right? And so you see that Daniel set the example down about standing for what he believed in. Now, regarding the law that was set against this, you see that the law that was set against the things that Daniel was doing, another thing in his life was that he prayed. And so Daniel decided that he was going to pray and keep his daily ritual schedule of praying. He would go out, he would kneel. Bible talked about three separate times, three times a day that he would go out and kneel. All of a sudden now the king passed a decree, Daniel chapter 6, verses 4 through 24, that this was going to be illegal. Daniel still did that, which he had a conviction about doing from the heart, and the end result of that was that the king thought that here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw him in the lion's pit. He'd be devoured, and it'd be all over. But may I say that when you stand for that which is truth, if truth is a pure truth and it is biblically driven, then I can tell you that when you stand for that, you do not stand alone, because the Bible teaches that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. He says that he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He talks about how that you don't have to stand by yourself. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You find out when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as I alluded to it on Sunday night, was cast into the fiery burning furnace. You'll find out when they were cast into that burning fiery furnace that the king looked in and he didn't see three, though they did fall down for a little bit. And by the way, don't get too mad at people when they fall down. Can I tell you, there's a lot of preachers I know, and there's a lot of missionaries I know, and there's a lot of business Christian men that I know that have fallen, but they've gotten back up. So praise God for those that get back up. And by the way, if we're the Christian that we ought to be, then we believe in reconciliation. And so our job is not to kick somebody when they're down, but rather to give them a hand back up. And so we understand that there's some principles here. Now, there was a day in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's life when they did not bow down to the image that was set up by Nebuchadnezzar. We understand that they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. We understand that the cords that had bound them was burned off. They did fall down, but they got back up. And we understand by them looking into that furnace that they did not see three, but they saw four. And the Bible says the fourth was likened unto the Son of God. So when you go through the fire, God will make sure that you're stood beside. Now, we understand about Daniel. Daniel was restored. He came out of the lion's den. He was restored. He served under four different kings for approximately 70 years. He was restored and served immediately and directly underneath these kings. Now he had some principles in his life that he stood for, It might have cost him his life, but it did not. Shadrach and Meshach, Abednego, had some principles that they stood for. It might have cost them their life. Matter of fact, I don't think they had a no-care attitude, but they were pretty bold-faced about it. They said that the Lord God would deliver them and said, even from thy hand, O king. And so they were pretty bold and brazen about it. But then they made a little statement right after that. You'll read it in your Bible. But they said, But if not, we're still not going to bow down. But if not, okay? So what does that mean? That means a person stands by principle no matter what the end result may be. In other words, we hope the end result will always be positive. We hope the end result will always be for the better outcome. We hope the end result will always be that which is for our embetterment and for the embetterment of others. But if not, should we still stand for that which is biblical truth. We should. All right, now, let me give you some biblical truth that you'll find in your Bible. We're talking about areas of principle. Areas of principle. Now, these are Bible-based. These are areas of principle that we understand, okay? Let me see here. Let me get one of the... John, would you come? Do you mind? Come on up here, if you will. And I want you to hold this. You're going to be up here a while, okay? And you're going to help me kind of teach this through, all right? So here's what we have in the Bible. You'll see that we have Bible-based principles. Now, what are they? Well, everything that is Bible-based does produce a principle, and a principle does produce a conviction, all right? Now, let's understand this. Also, you'll see that there are those in the Bible, and let Matthew come. And Matthew, you come and hold this. You'll see there's in the Bible what we call a preference. There's in our own lives. In our own lives, we have things that are principle-driven, what we call convictions, Bible-based, all right? And then in our own lives, we have that which is what we would call preference. Now, by the way, sometimes preferences are very strong. Yes, they are. Sometimes the things that we prefer are very strong. Now, we got to be careful that we do not put preferences and convictions or preferences and principles on the same plateau. You cannot preach this like Bible doctrine. You can't. Because this is just something that you prefer. So you cannot preach this with the strength of, okay, if somebody doesn't do this, then they're not right with God. Well, they might not be right with you, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're not right with God. Now, if somebody doesn't do this, this is God's department. If somebody doesn't do this, this is your department. And as long as you can keep these two items departmentalized, then you're going to have a balance in your Christian life. Okay? Now, let me give you some things about this department right over here. Okay? We know this, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. And the only way to go to heaven, how many believe that? Okay, now that is Bible-based. The Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, the Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Not two ways, three ways, four ways, or five ways. Only one way, Jesus Christ. All right, that is Bible-based. That is Bible-driven. So we could say that that is a conviction. It is Bible-based. It is Bible-driven. Okay, we believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. And because it is, we believe it's infallible. We believe it's inerrant. We believe that the King James Bible fulfills this. It fulfills this. So because of that, we don't have to go looking for something else. We have that which we believe fulfills that. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The Bible says for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. It says for instruction in righteousness. Then we believe that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Okay, we believe that. In other words, we believe that once a person gets saved, that there is an indwelling at that point of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't get confused with the charismatics that get this all messed up. There is many fillings of the Holy Spirit, but there's only one indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So once I get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells me. Now, that does not mean that he fills me. He fills me according to my yieldedness to him, my obedience to him, and my asking of the filling of the Holy Ghost. Okay? But we understand this, that he does come to dwell. He comes to tabernacle. He comes to, if you would please, lodge, if you will, in our temple. Our temple is that body. All right? Now, wait a minute. Here's what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? All right, so he says once the Holy Spirit comes to resonate or comes to live, comes to abide or to tabernacle inside of you, understand now that you are, it's sort of like somebody buying an apartment building or somebody buying an apartment in the apartment building, and that apartment is representative of you, and now that apartment is bought by God, and what happens is that apartment, it looks like your embodiment, and when you get saved, the Holy Ghost comes in to take up residence in that apartment. Okay, now wait a minute, watch this. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, it says, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. All right, so what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which are God's. Now, how do I know how to glorify God? I get in the God book that's called the Bible, and I find out from the God book that's called the Bible what God wants me to do with my body and with my spirit that will bring glory to him. Now, anything that does not bring glory to him, somebody smokes a cigarette and says, I'm smoking this for the glory of God. I don't think so. Somebody's looking at porno. I'm looking at this for the glory of God. I do not think so. Okay? I'm reading this filthy magazine for the glory of God. I don't think so. Okay? And so what you take in, I'm pumping up drugs. I'm drinking liquor for the glory of God. No. No. Your body does not belong to you. Your body belongs to the Lord. Okay? All right? Then maintain faithful church attendance. Here's what it says in your Bible. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. The Bible says, and upon the first day of the week, it says, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued to preach until midnight. Now, we need to obey the Bible, and we've only got 4 more hours to go. All right? But, okay, so they came together. What did they do? They came together. They broke bread. They had fellowship. They came together. The cup is not mentioned here, so it's not talking about taking the Lord's Supper. Anytime that's talking about taking the Lord's Supper, the cup is always mentioned. All right, so they're not talking about taking the Lord's Supper. It says that they came together, these disciples, and they break bread. So they came together for good old-fashioned Baptist fellowship. Okay, so as they came together, they broke bread. Paul preached unto them, and he preached, the Bible says, and departed on the morrow, which, you know, he preached till midnight, so probably, you know, 2 minutes after midnight he left. All right, but he preached all the way till midnight. Okay, so we ought to maintain good church attendance. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, forsaking not the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And it says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that approaching. So there ought to be a good, faithful church attendance represented by you and your family. All right, statement number next, a proper physical relationship in marriage. In marriage. So no physical relationship prior to marriage, but only in marriage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3, and this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor. So he says, you know how to control you. You know how to control you. You make sure that you control you. All right? Then the ladies' apparel. Ladies' apparel. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit, it says, on the ground. It says, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldees, that thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Now I have a precious daughter. I have 3 boys and a precious daughter. I want her always to be known as tender and delicate. I don't want her to be trained in such a fashion that when she does get married, that she meets her husband at the front door with boxing gloves on and says, okay, Bubba, let's get with it. I want her to be tender and delicate. I don't want all of a sudden when they get into a tongue lashing that it turns into a physical wrestling match and her beat that poor guy up every time they have a disagreement. I want her to be tender and delicate. All right? Now, God says take the millstones. It says grind meal. It says, watch it here. And it says uncover their locks, bear the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. All right, now wait a minute. Here's what it talks about. It says to make bare the leg, okay? So, you know, people take off their clothes and they go swimming, okay? The average person takes off their clothes and they go swimming. What do? They bare the leg, all right? People wear shorts. Many times they'll bare the leg, okay? All right, now wait a minute. Here's what it's talking about. Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 3 says, thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. All right, now wait a minute. So when is a lady's nakedness shown? When she bares the leg or uncovers the thigh. All right, so it's a very Bible simple truth that when a lady uncovers her thigh, all right, she reveals that which is her nakedness. Another Bible verse that would go along with that is a very simple one. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 9, it says, in like matter also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. If you do a Bible study on this, the word apparel comes from a Greek word, kachistoe, which simply means a long flowing or veiling garment. That's what it means. Okay, so the ladies are supposed to wear a long flowing or veiling garment. The word breeches is mentioned 5 times in your Bible, and I know a lot of this is old hat to many of you, but breeches mentioned 5 times in your Bible is always mentioned in relationship to a man, and the word breeches is where we get our English word breeches from. Okay, all right, so my wife was asked, Mrs. Howlett asked the question to my wife, have you ever wore pants in your life? And she said, no. Okay, now that's a testimony and an attribute to my wife, but that does not make my wife any more spiritual than anybody else. Now, it does make her obedient in that area, but can I tell you, there's lots of areas we're supposed to be obedient in, and God wants us to be obedient in all of them, not just one. Okay, but now understand that God talks, and of course, we could go over it. You know, if I hold up lipstick, ready? If I hold up lipstick tonight, what would you say? Is that for a man or a woman? Kind of makes sense. What if I hold up fingernail polish? Man or woman? You're doing good so far. Okay, what if I hold up a blouse? Ready? Here we go. Here we go. A blouse? You want to try that on? No. You would say man or woman? Talk to me. Man or woman? Okay, you got it so far. Here we go. What if I, let me find something here. Hey, here we go. What is this? I don't know what this is. Okay, here. It's a skirt. Is that a skirt? That's a skirt. Okay, what if I hold up a skirt? Man or woman? Wow, and some of you don't even know your Bible. You just know that a man shouldn't put this on. Right? I mean, without even knowing your Bible. By the way, did you know even the heathen world, think about this. When you go to the bathroom, even in the heathen world, when you would go to a lady's bathroom, they always had a picture of a woman in a skirt. Go to the man's bathroom, they all had a picture of a man in pants. And by the way, can I tell you that is universal? When I go to Thailand, it's that way? Yeah. When I go to the Philippines, it's universal, okay? So if I hold up, okay, here we go. I hold up this, here we go. Just trying to help you. What do you think of? Man. I haven't asked it yet. Ready? Woman or man?
Man.
All right, and that's without turning to a Bible verse. Wait a minute, here we go. So the Bible talks about a woman could wear, come here, Brother Nash. The Bible talks about that a woman could wear that which is veiling, okay? Veiling, so it's veiling. And by the way, are you listening to me? As long as she covers the thigh, okay, then she's okay. Could wear it all the way down to, here's the difference between a conviction and a preference. You stay with me now, you ready? Some women say, I'm gonna wear it all the way down to the ankle. I have a conviction. No, you have a preference. Get it right. You have a preference. It's not a conviction. Conviction is when it covers the thigh. Now we tell people, thank you, you did, oh, just, okay. We tell our girls, you know, if I were you, I'd wear it maybe 2 or 3 inches below the knee because, you know, you want to cover the thigh in a reasonable fashion so that if you're running, if you're participating in athletics, if you're on an elevated platform, in other words, you want to make sure that you do right regardless of how you find your physical state of being. So we say wear it long enough that you don't jeopardize a Bible truth. Okay? And so that's why you'll see different singing groups up here. You'll see the volleyball team and stuff like that. We're just trying to stay as close to the Bible as we possibly can. That's all. Now, don't get mad at us for teaching Bible truth that we believe is Bible-based. All right? And somebody says, well, I just don't agree with that. Okay, everybody has their right to an opinion. But as for me and my house, as Joshua did say, I want to be able to take my family in this certain direction. Okay? And so you want to be careful to be able to do the right thing. Well, let's move on. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14 says, doth not nature teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? Nature. So something that is according to nature, or something that is natural. So for a man's hair, you don't see that it naturally grows out the forehead. Doesn't naturally grow out the ear. By nature, doesn't naturally grow down the back. By nature, doesn't naturally grow out of the nose. It doesn't naturally grow that way. Now, with Esau, it might have been. The Bible says he was a hairy man. So he might have had hair everywhere. When he went to eat, he had to part the hair noses in order to eat. Not sure. Okay? All right? And so, but here's what it says. He says, doth not even nature, I mean, there's some things you can figure out for yourself. Doth not even nature teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame on him? Now, it says, but if a woman have long hair, verse 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, it is a glory to her, and it says, her hair is given, it says, her for a covering. All right, so then you got to ask the question, well, how long is long? Well, if short is short on the man, then long is longer than the shortness that's on the man. Is that right? So the opposite of short would be long, and the opposite of long would be short. Now, again, let me show you. So a Bible truth would be for a woman to have longer hair than the man. A preference would be how long the hair she would want it. You've seen ladies that have them to the bottom. You've seen ladies that have them to the knees. You've seen ladies that have them to the ankles. You've seen ladies that drag it. So really, it depends on the preference, okay? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, all right? So talking about music, all right? The music, God says, that will help you the most, it's going to be the psalms, it's going to be the hymns, the spiritual songs. Get a good diet of it. It's going to help you the most. Now, that is spiritually based. Talking about your money, tithes and offerings. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Talking about touching, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. It is good for man not to touch a woman. Woman is turned on by the touch, so God says, hey, I'm going to give you something to protect you. Man is turned on by the sight, all right? So a woman that wears something really tight, really low, really short, it's going to turn a man on. By the way, if you're going to wear stuff like that, there's a place for that. It's called the privacy of your own chambers. Why would your wife want to come to church and wear something that's going to turn another man on? And why would you want her to wear something that would turn another man on? There is some sacred things. There is. Okay. All right. You ready? Here we go. So personal soul winning. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, go ye. It says, and teach all nations, baptizing them, name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever command you, though I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So personal soul winning. Hey, do it, go ye. All right, watching wrong things, wrong shows, wrong movies, or whatever. Job 31 in verse 1, he said, I made a covenant, he says, with mine eyes. He says, why then should I think on the maiden? He said, look, I made a covenant. So be careful, guys. Your wife's not home. She's on vacation. You've got cable in the house. You be careful what you watch. If you stir up passions inside of your life when your wife or your children are not there, you're going to have a hard time shutting them down when they are there. Before you know it, you're going to be setting up late at night, and you're going to be viewing things that you should not be viewing, and then when she comes in the room, she catches you, and it hurts your marriage. It hurts your marriage if she doesn't catch you. So be careful, okay? A marriage between a husband and a wife, male and female. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22 says that man shall not lie with man as with womankind. By the way, if you want to study out homosexuality, lesbianism, Leviticus chapter 18 is your chapter. You study it out, you'll see all the wrongs of it. Here we go. Okay, stay with me, guys. You ready? Areas of preference. Areas of preference. Some people get alienated by Bible truth because they take it too far, and we become weird to them. Well, you know, they just believe that, and that's absolutely weird. If it's Bible-based, it's not weird. There was a day when I did not believe all that I believe in the Bible today. There was a day. When I got saved, I came out of a public school. I had hair down to my shoulders. I didn't know any different. I was very athletic. Never heard preaching on the hair. But one day I was reading my Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I saw that. Started thinking the process through of natural nature. Oh, wow, I need to make a decision. Okay, all right, then it got shorter and shorter and shorter. But it didn't get shorter overnight. So you got to give people room to grow. Don't do this. Don't be a Pharisee. I can't stand Phariseeism. You know, well, you got to be where I am, or I'm not going to have fellowship with you. Well, I hope somebody runs over your big toe. That's crazy. There's not a person in here that is not growing in grace. Now, I love you, but in the name of the Lord, get off your high horse. There's not a person in here that's not growing. We're all growing. And by the way, the person that you're criticizing might be leaps and bounds above you in another area, but you don't have a right to hold your area that you're quote-unquote above them over their head. Accept people and love people for who they are. Now, we're all growing, but then we want to continue to grow. That's why we have Bible studies like this. You ought never to go to a church, well, I agree with everything because I feel comfortable. If you're feeling comfortable in a church where everything, and you're never challenged by a Bible truth that rubs you the wrong way like sandpaper, then you're probably in the wrong church. There ought to be something that man of God says to you from time to time that just irks you and causes you to desire to do more for Christ and learn more. Amen. One book, one God. We're supposed to live by the one book given by the one God. Okay, now wait a minute. Okay, here we go. So some people, in areas of preference, here's what they do. I tell you what, I don't want to live a certain way, so I'm going to have a preference not to do that because there's the fear of rejection. I'm going to have a preference not to do that because I'll just be honest with you, if because of greed, because if I tell them the way that I really am, I'm going to lose friends. Well, you might gain some too. They say, well, I'm not going to do that because it's, you know, I tell you what, I just want to compromise, and that's their preference to be able to do that. They prefer to do that. All right, wait, let me go over a couple things. Ready? Here we go. So there's the preference, say, of the music. It ought to be spiritual. It ought to be holy. It ought to be God glorifying. It ought to be majestic. okay? But a person could have a preference as to the groups they listen to, the church, or different singers that they listen to. Let me give you some preferences that I have. Can I give you some preferences? These are preferences. Here's my preference. I ask all the guys to dress business on the platform. My preference is they wear a suit, they wear a tie, and a white shirt, because a white shirt has always been accepted in the business world as a professional dress. So on the platform, I ask the guys to wear white shirts. Now that's a preference. When they're teaching in the Bible college, they don't have to wear a white shirt. When they're out soul winning, they don't have to wear a white shirt. But my preference is for platform appearance, I ask them to wear a white shirt. When they're preaching in the academy or behind a pulpit at Lone Star preaching, I ask them to wear a white shirt. Now that's a preference. There's no Bible verse to that. None. Okay? I don't want the guys really to wear white socks on the platform. I don't want them to wear red socks on the platform. Now, there's no Bible verse to that, but that's a preference. You know, in the college, I don't want them to wear shirts, if you will, please, that gives the idea that they're representing one thing when they're trying to do something else. So I want them to stay away from the cartoon shirts and stuff like that, you know, because I want them to be professional, okay? I have a preference, no chewing gum in church. It's a preference. I think most people that chew gum look like cows. You know, so I have a preference. Now, that's not a conviction. Are you ready? All right, wait a minute. I have a preference. Don't use off-kilter words. What I call derivatives. Well, I'm not going to use the curse word, but I'll use one of these other words to represent the curse word that I wish I could have said, though I can't. Now, stay far away from it. That's a preference. It's a preference when we started a girls' volleyball team that they wear culottes. Flapping the front, flapping the back. Preference. A preference, we ask our ladies when they go out soul winning not to wear, or our men to wear denim. Dress up when you go out. We're going in all sorts of neighborhoods. We ask people when they go out soul winning, represent the Lord, represent the church, wear a tie. In the summertime, we ask our girls, hey, don't wear flip-flops when you go out soul winning. Preference. You know, we want them to be able, okay, preference, okay? A preference would be two genders, not married, opposite genders, if you will, walking to a car at night and just hanging out at somebody, you know, boy, girl, at car, alone. Preference, don't do that. Be above reproach. Preference is that I'll teach courtship and you're supposed to obey your parents. Okay, wait a minute. So some parent might say, well, I don't believe in courtship. Well, that's fine. You know, some people may say, well, I just believe in the dating. Okay, well, that's up to you. But I'm going to teach you about obeying your parents. Now, that's Bible. That's Bible. But as far as terminating it courtship, it may be a preference. Hey, preference, I don't believe that boys and girls ought to be texting each other. I don't believe boys ought to be on girls' Instagram pages making comments. I don't believe that girls ought to be on boys' Instagram pages making comments. I don't believe that boys and girls ought to be Facebooking each other. I think you're opening up a crack that later on you can't shut. And it's going to cause you trouble. A boy texts my daughter, and we've had several boys to do it. I'm not mad at you. But a boy texts my daughter, and my daughter shows me and says, what do I do with that? I said, ignore it. It'll go away like a bad cold. Just ignore it. I don't want you to text a boy back. You're not ready for that. You're not mature enough for that. Stay away from it. Okay? Now, I'm saying that there's preferences that I'm very strong on. I don't like the boys wearing white T-shirts when they play ball. They get all hot and sweaty, and then they show things that a girl walking in could get embarrassed about. Hey, that's a preference. Preference, I don't make hasty decisions. Somebody comes in my office, and they're in panic mode. Hey, I got to know what to do right now. Okay, let's do this. Tell me what the problem is. Let me assimilate it. Get all the facts together. Think it through. I'll get back with you in a couple of days. Oh, no, I got to. Couple of days. Okay, but that's a preference I operate by. Opening doors for ladies. Preference. Preference. You may never open the door for a lady. You may ask your wife to open the door for you. Okay, here we go. Got to quit. Here it is. Living by principle. Living by principle. Live for a cause greater than yourself. Live for a cause greater than yourself. Statement number next. Know what you believe. Know what you believe. Statement number next. Expect conflict. Expect conflict. Somebody says, well, so-and-so don't believe like you. Duh. Okay, you're going to have people don't believe what you believe. Now, you don't talk about them. You know, I can't stand this. Here's what we do. We get a preference, and we say, my preference, I'm elevating to doctrine. And if you don't do this, then, okay, preference, the color of the, what do you call it? Color of the roof. That's preference. Okay? Heritage Cafe. Preference. Not a conviction. Preference. Having a concession stand over in the gym for our academy where we sell things. Preference. Having a bookstore. Preference. Having lights on in the auditorium. Preference. Okay, you've got to be careful, though, that you don't elevate a preference to the plateau of a conviction, but we've got to be so careful that we don't get this preference in our head so much that we say, well, I prefer not to see that truth. I've got one life. Okay, go ahead and sit down. Thanks, I'm done. I got one life. Here it is. Look, I'm 52. Let me tell you how I feel. I feel like I might be able to make it to 90, maybe 95. That's where I feel right now. I might not feel that way when I'm 53. But I'm going to show you something. Watch. I'm going to show you something. I'm 52. I want to love everybody I can, help everybody I can, teach Bible doctrine as much as I can, help people make wise decisions. I want to do that. Let's say that somewhere, okay, here, help me, please. Stand there with your Bible. Here we go. You come over here. Don't bring your Bible. So here I am as pastor. Get behind me. Get behind me. About halfway stop, okay? So we're going along. Hey, he's doing great. He's doing great. Now stay with this, and this will help you not to leave here saying, oh, I disagree with him on this. On this. Since I disagree with him on this, I'm not coming back. I'm telling you, that's the way a lot of people are. But I'm going to show you what happens. Here we go. Let me show you a pastor's heart. Can I show you a pastor's heart? Here we go. You ready? Walking along, there's Bible truth. Walking along, I look back, he's still there. Okay, I'm losing him. Well, I lost him. Okay, but what do? I go back and say, hey, let me show you this. He makes it just a little bit farther. He stops. I've already pastored in 5 years. Come on, stay with me, please. Amen. It might be church attendance, might be soul winning, might be Bible reading, but he's come farther than what he was. All right, wait a minute. And so I'm not going to beat him up, hurt him. I'm not going to do that. That's not what a friend does. That's not what a pastor does. I'm going to root him on. Look, one day we're all going to have to answer to some things, for some thing. Okay, wait, here we go. Here we go. So we go a little bit farther. I lose him. That's okay. Now we're in our 70s together. Here we go. He makes it a little bit farther. Amen. Now we're in our 80s together. Now we each reach 90. Okay? You notice I still have the vitality. All right, now wait a minute, watch this. It's taken a long time. I don't care. I don't care how long it takes. Yeah, every time I see you in church, it's a victory. Every time I hear that you prayed and you got a prayer answered, to me it's like, that is so neat. That is good. Somebody leaves the church, go ahead and sit down, leaves the church, doesn't go to another church, just kind of drops off the face of the earth. What do? I go back and say, hey, come on, let's go. Come on, come on, we can do it. I'm not going to go over to them and say, hey, what is your problem? What's your problem? I'm not going to do that. Hey, come on, we can do it. Hello? So I'm going to try and bring them along. Now, I can't make them do anything. All right, what are you going to do? One day you have kids, and your kid says, I don't care what you say in your face. No. What are you going to do? I doubt if you stick them outside, tie them to the railroad, and pray that the train comes. I doubt it. You'll weep. You'll cry. You'll be empty on the inside. You'll hurt. You'll die 1,000 deaths. And then you'll always come back and try and help. You always will. You always will. So on the way in, I always counsel pastors as I drive in every morning. We preached many churches as an evangelist. I got pastors all over the nation that I love. Love their families. Every morning when I drive in, I'm on the phone. Hey, brother, how you doing? They'll give me phone appointments. I call them. I'm driving in. I was talking to a pastor today. He said, man, I'm just having so much trouble. I've lost my daughter's heart. I said, okay, tell me how it happened. We talked for 30 minutes on the way in, Dr. Smell. 30 minutes. And I said, here's how you work on getting your daughter's heart back. You do this. 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 I'll call you next Wednesday. Let's see how it worked. He cried. I prayed. And I drove on. Do you understand there's no big boys in this? Do you understand that? Do you understand that we're all growing together? Amen. Leave no man behind. Amen. Do you understand that's what a church family does? That's what friends do? Amen. Well, I don't get that right now. Okay, but did you get the other 25? Did you get the other 20? Did you get the other 5? You see what I'm saying? And as we walk along, we all grow closer. Then all of a sudden, we arrive at home one day.